Hey everyone, welcome back to the Handlebar Podcast. On this episode, you are actually going to be listening to one of our YouTube exclusive sessions that we've been doing. A lot of you guys have been asking if we could make them available on our podcast platform, which we have. But if you haven't already subscribed to our YouTube channel, go ahead and go to YouTube and hit that subscribe button. That way you can stay up to date with any new episodes or any new content that we upload. So these sessions have honestly been so much fun, and we've heard so much great feedback from you guys. So yeah, anyway, without further ado, we hope you guys enjoy this episode.
One. What's up, guys? Welcome back to Handlebar Sessions. We are back with Chase Durkin.
What's up?
Let's go, bro. After season 5, we had to have you back.
I'm here again.
So we did dreams, the return of Jesus.
We did the intense stuff.
We did the intense stuff.
You just bring me in for the
intense stuff. By the way, I have no idea what question we're about to do right now, what they're about to ask us. So also, I will say this before we get the question, that there's been a handful of times where we've gotten feedback from people and they're like, you know, you'll read the question sometimes and then it seems like you guys are unprepared. And 9 times out of 10, we are unprepared. Like, yeah, we don't know what the question is. So the question comes and you're like, you got to gather your thoughts. You got to think.
I know. I'm kind of feeling it right now.
I like the uncomfortability of not knowing the question, because I feel like you get the real raw answer. Like, how many times have young adults come up to you and they're like, you know, they have this question
on the cuff.
You're not
question,
prepared. Yeah. You're not studied. You're not. But the overflow of your life comes out, and
you actually get to connect on it.
You get to connect on it,
and then the Holy Spirit gets to speak.
That's right. And that's what's hopefully going about to happen. So, Rafi, my man, hit us with the question.
I got you. I can't wait to hear this one. This question is from Josh. He's 17, and he's from Massachusetts.
Josh, 17, Massachusetts.
And the question just goes like this. Help with pornography.
Wow.
That's it. Help with pornography.
That's the one. That's the question.
It's loaded. Help
with pornography, Josh, 17. Mm. Well, Josh, I know this probably isn't going to be encouraging to you. I'm getting a timer on my phone as I'm talking, but my boy, you are 17, and I promise you, you're going to have breakthrough in your life.
Amen. I believe that.
You know, remember when you're a teenager and what you're walking through as a teenager feels like your entire world.
The weight of the world.
And then you graduate high school, and you realize you have far much more years ahead of your life than what you've just walked through. But when you're in high school, every little thing matters. And I'm not saying pornography doesn't matter, but what I am saying is, Josh, who's 17, your life, the best is yet to come. So I'm excited to jump into this and talk about it. 10 minutes starting now. Chase,
wow.
Have you ever been bound by pornography?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And that question, it makes my... makes my mind and heart go so many different places, like even how to tackle this thought in question. I think I want to start off with encouragement. The testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy.
Yes, come on.
And just like what you're saying to Josh, he did it for me, so I have faith that Josh, he's going to do it for you.
Yeah.
It does feel, at that age, there's so many layers and context to how you were exposed, how you're struggling. Did it come from, you know, neglect? You know, like so many factors. And for each person, even myself included, that introduction, that weight, and even, I'll say this, like the church environment and culture I grew up in, it weighed me down to the point that it opened the door, not just to greater addiction to pornography, but to depression, to suicide, to so much. But there's hope. And that's the thing that I feel like we hear so many statistics in our day and age of, you know, how many people are exposed, how many, you know, youth pastors and people in the church are addicted. But I think if we could see the narrative of testimony, your testimony, my testimony, countless others, I just feel like it would author something in a generation that, though that's a norm, there's another story, and there is hope for freedom.
Yeah.
There's hope for freedom. And so, yeah, that's my testimony. And there's a lot that led to that freedom and that breakthrough, but the Lord was faithful to walk with me in it. And so
I think, too, what you're talking about is the gospel.
Mm.
but that many people don't know. Like, you know, growing up for me, I didn't realize that I had been taught a gospel that wasn't the full gospel. And what I was taught was Jesus forgives you of your sins, but you will always be bound by the power of sin until the day you leave this life and go to the next one. And that's not the gospel. Mm-hmm. The gospel is that you can be free from the power of sin. And I remember hearing people like say growing up, like, man, I sin every day of my life. And I thought that's the mark of being a good Christian. I love God, but I will sin every day of my life. And now on this side of it, I realize I don't sin every day of my life. Mm-hmm. And truly you can be free from the power of sin. But I think this specific topic in question is one that is dominating the church and not just men, by the way, is dominating women as well.
Let's be honest.
And I think of Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7 talks about the seductress woman, which pornography is a spirit. You actually see it in Revelation 17 when the heartlet is introduced in the narrative of the end times. The Greek word that's there for heartlet is porneo, which is where we get our English word pornography. And in that passage, it says that she extends a cup to the saints. And when they drink it, right, they're drinking of her cup, it says that she gets drunk on their blood. Mm. And so it's actually like she extends this temptation to you. And if you drink of that temptation, this porneo spirit is the Bible says getting drunk on the blood of the saints, which is so scary. Mm-hmm. But anyways, back to Proverbs 7. So Proverbs 7 is talking about the seductress woman who comes. And the whole like passage, if you read the passage, is so... The language and the imagery the Bible gives of this character, right, is so intense. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm reading an R-rated chapter in the Bible here. But then it says this phrase at the end of Proverbs 7. It says, all who were slain by her were strong men.
Wow.
And that verse in itself puts the fear of God in me, that all that were slain by her were strong men. They weren't weak men. They weren't weak Christians. They weren't like... they didn't have a dual flame of faith that was burning out. They were strong men. And that tells me I'm one click away.
Yeah.
That's the farthest I ever get away from pornography is one click. That is a sobering thing. The amount of freedom I've experienced, yet I'm one click away. Mm. Because all who fell by her were strong men. And I think when I think of this, you know, if you've listened to the episode, it was on dreams. It's called Do You Dream? I Tell a Dream.
Yeah.
About where God first invited me into freedom from pornography. It was the first time I ever confessed that specific sin, but it wasn't the last time I ever confessed that sin. And I would say when it comes to pornography help, as Joshua is asking, I would say the best advice I could give you, the best wisdom I can give you, is your best friend and your greatest weapon is confession.
Absolutely.
I would say, every time, anytime and every time you stumble with pornography, you need to confess. You need to confess for, now in the role that I'm sitting, confession is harder than ever before, because if I confess now, I'm confessing to my wife first. Yeah. That is the worst.
Yes.
Like having to go to your wife and say, hey, I'm stumbling with lust.
Yeah.
I'm struggling. Like that is the conversation no husband ever wants to have. Yet, anytime and every time I have got to go first to my wife, and second, I have mentors, I have fathers, I have friends, that confession, for some reason, I don't know why I'm so passionate about this, but confession and repentance has become a dirty word in the church, but repentance is our best friend.
It is. It's
confession is our best friend. And the Bible says, confess your sins one to another, not to Jesus.
Yeah.
Confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. And I want to say to Josh that, you know, you asked this question that if you're struggling with pornography and you want help, I want to encourage you to be powerful and to confess to someone. Confess to a friend, but confess to authority, confess to a leader. That is where there's breakthrough in confessing up. And so that has been the night and day difference, the game changer for me in getting free from the porneo spirit.
Yeah. Wow. There's so much in that. I feel like even when you hear the question, I think the thing that comes to my heart and spirit is our personal journeys. And I would say right there with you, confession for me in my journey, when I look back on it, that's where like the straw broke the camel's back, truly.
Yeah.
Because there's something about the power of confession. I would even say to Josh, and I think our generation though, we like being victim. Like, let's just be blunt. We like being victim to something, like something's holding us down and we can't Like there's almost more, is that passage in scripture? There's more glory in your shame. They glory in their struggle. And I realized, I kind of woke up one day and I was like, man, I get now, I'm slave to this master. And when I thought of all the encounters I had in the Lord, I was like, there was a line. I couldn't keep going further in Jesus and struggling with pornography. You couldn't do both. You can't do both. What hit me and what shifted it was just a true, I want Jesus more. I want to grow in the depths of his love that I know he already loves me. But it flips that whole grace of like, this isn't, I see what Paul's saying now. It's like, grace doesn't bounce so we can sin more. Like, God forbid. Like, it was like an awakening with the love of God that broke me from victimhood, that drew me into confession. Because even in 1 John, it says, when we confess, he that is in the light, we come into the light with him. And it says this, that you don't just have fellowship with him, but one another. Yes. And I've seen pornography. I see a lot of people's bitterness and offense in church. This is a side note. It's like because there's a hidden sin there.
Yes.
And they isolate themselves. And then it leads to, that's where I say it is a slippery slope. Pornography is a slippery slope. But the thing I would say is don't be a victim. Confess. And then getting in the scripture. I love what it says in Psalms. It says, how can a young man stay pure in his ways? It's he that keeps and hides his word in his heart. In any time, because temptation will always be there. Like this is what people don't understand. I love what Lou Engle said about his journey of pornography. He said, every time I felt tempted, I turned it into a prayer meeting.
Wow.
And I turned it into a moment to jump into the word. I turned it into a moment to grow in the love of God even more. And for me, I remember in high school, I would walk around with these note cards and I would just write my favorite Bible verses on them.
You were that kid.
I was that kid.
I love that kid.
I was that kid. Because for me, it was such a struggle. Again, when that line was drawn, it was like, I remember the Lord whispering that to me. And actually came to the voice of someone else's testimony where he said, the Lord just came to him and said, you can't do both anymore. You either are going to follow Jesus fully into his purposes, fully into freedom, or ultimately, if you see that end road, there's a falling away that will happen. Mm. It just will. It will. And I was like, I'm going to put his word in my heart.
Come on.
And I remember just pulling out those note cards when temptation would come, his scripture, you know, like just that was something that would just light me on fire. And I would also say this too. This is my last thought. No one else is going to overcome it for you. Wow. Like I remember I would get in these cycles of, man, if only that person could lay hands on me, if only that person could prophesy over me,
wow. If
this, and this, and it's no one else's job. That's a part of maturing in your walk with God. That's no one else's job to find freedom in the Lord, but you and him together.
Yes.
And there's this communal aspect, and there's also this individual place of, Lord, I want to walk with you. And the story that always comes to mind is the story of Elijah and Jezebel, because you know that we know the whole story with her, and even that spirit, you hear that a lot. And but the story that's so powerful about that is that Elijah comes with the word of the Lord. And I think about the eunuchs. They were up there. If you don't know what the eunuch is in scripture, but ultimately Jezebel took advantage of their sexuality and mutilated them. And this is maybe applicable today, but they were the modern day gender confused generation.
Yeah.
They were taking advantage that they had no identity. It was taken from them because of their sexuality. They'd be taken advantage of. And you see that Jezebel spirit in this day and age has taken such advantage of our generation. Like we don't even know who we are anymore down to our gender. But Elijah gives the word of the Lord. You know what I love about it? Elijah doesn't throw Jezebel down. If you read that story in the Bible, it was the eunuchs. It was the ones that had been taken advantage of.
Wow.
They hear the word of the Lord, and they could have said, Elijah, you come up here and do this because the Lord's in you. But it was actually those that were awakened to what had taken advantage of them. They hear the word of the Lord. And it says they throw her off her balcony yes. to her death. And that's what I hear whenever even we're talking about this question with Josh. It's like, I think the word is coming through people like us because we've overcome it. The testimony of Jesus, spirit of prophecy, for a generation to hear the word of the Lord and say, you know what? I can throw this down too. Yeah. I can overcome this too.
Yeah.
Like young men, young women. I know you brought that up. Like I think me and my wife have counseled more girls through this. Truly, it's taken advantage of a generation. But man, I feel wow. the spirit of God even as we're talking about this because I believe there's hope to say, man, you did it for Chase and Aaron. I know you can do it for me because you're the same.
Yeah.
And so just encourage.
So yeah. what would your handlebar be for someone?
Man.
Young adult comes to you. I'm struggling with porn.
Yeah.
What do I do?
I would say, I mean, there's confession in that with a leader. I would say, man, that's so hard because I feel like again, there's so many.
Yeah.
I would say have an honest conversation with the Lord before you have it with someone else. And what I mean by that is I see a lot of people, their conversations in confession is them assuming that they're dealing with it and they've never taken it to God. Wow. Meaning when you hold that struggle before you and the Lord, at the end of the day, he's the looking at him is going to be the only thing that will sustain you in that surrender. Because if you do it for me in wanting my approval and my affirmation and like, yeah, you're doing, it's going to fail at some point.
Yeah.
And I would say having, for me, it was me in my bedroom. I remember I was 16. It was this moment of surrender before the Lord that then led me to the steps of wisdom of confession and putting yeah. the word in my heart. But it took a real moment with the Lord and surrender. And I would say just even as if someone's listening to this, it's as easy as turning this off and saying, Lord, I know what I need to do, but I want to give it to you.
Yes.
I want to give it to you.
I love that because probably the moment that I had the biggest breakthrough with the Lord, I had a huge moment when I confessed to people, but I remember the day that I was struggling with this. And I remember what I told the Lord was, Lord, I'm no match for this.
Mm.
You know, because we can try. I remember, you know, I heard a guy when I was, you know, a young teenager say, if you're struggling with pornography, get a calendar and count the days that you're free from it and put an X the days you're not. And then do that year after year until the X's go away. And it's like, you can't strive yourself into freedom.
No, you can't.
And I tried for so many years to strive myself there because I thought I was a match for porn.
Mm.
I thought I was a match for sexual sin. Like if I fight hard enough, if I, you know, this is the Goliath and I'm David and I'll get my sling and I'll fight this giant. And I realized there was a day where I told the Lord, Lord, I'm no match.
Mm.
I'm no match. This thing is dominating me.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was in that moment. I still remember the Lord saying, good. Yeah. Now I can be.
That's
like,
it.
Now I can be your freedom. Now I can take this thing down. And I realized, wow, Lord, it was never my job to fight this thing. It was my job to come to you and let you do it in me.
Yes.
And I would say, you know, confess, that's, you know, always a handlebar. But number two, you know, and you saying have an honest conversation with the Lord, I'm going to take it a step further and hopefully offend some people watching this episode. But if you struggle, if you stumble in pornography, masturbation, I want you, here's my handlebar, the next, literally right afterwards, You've done your business, you're, you know, all of that. It's intense as it gets. You feel as slimy as you can feel. Turn on worship music.
Do it.
And worship. Because that's going to confront the religious spirit. That's going to confront shame. That's going to confront condemnation. And all of a sudden, you're going to find, even in sin, you have access to the Father.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
And from that place of coming before the Father in your weakest, nastiest, dirtiest moment and saying, Lord, I'm coming to worship you. Let him wash you. And there's nothing that will free you from sin more than the Father's love.
Yeah.
And that's I love, you know, we could give you handlebars on what to do with people, how to, you know, here's the practicals, put a passcode on your phone or don't have the Wi-Fi password or put your phone in the other room when you go to bed. There's all these, but I think the greater thing is dealing with your heart before the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm going to come into your presence in the moment that I feel the dirtiest.
Wow. I think that's it, dude. I would even say, I'd add one last thing. It's different to ask for forgiveness than actually make a space for true repentance. What I mean by that is like yes, you receive forgiveness, but repentance doesn't mean just receiving forgiveness. It means I'm turning
a different way.
And I remember, even for me, the journey in that was like, I'm going to keep repenting. Like, I'm going to keep repenting. And like, I think just in that, like, not just receiving forgiveness to tolerate sin, that's what Paul's saying, but like when you actually truly repent in your heart, there's a change. And then in that change, there's a grace to walk that out, you know? And so I would just encourage people in that, just keep bringing it to the light and even hear that afresh. There's hope. Yeah. There's hope.
Well, to end, can you pray for those that are watching that are struggling with this?
Yes. Let's do it. Lord, we just acknowledge you. Yeah, even for every person that's listening to this and they just, maybe you're hearing the voice of shame. There's a greater voice that wants to speak in this moment, and that's the voice of the Lord. And I pray just even right now, Lord, let your voice begin to speak. Lord, I even pray, Lord, just tears would begin to fall, cleansing tears. Lord, even too, that gets that residue out of their eyes and their minds and their hearts, and they would feel the love of God. Lord, that is the thing. Lord, it is your love. That's where freedom is. Lord, that is where hope is. Lord, that is even where the sustainment of this journey is. It's in your love. And Lord, so I just pray right now, Lord, even for those watching, Lord, I pray that they would feel the spirit of prophecy that comes through the testimony of Jesus flood their heart, and they would hear your voice say, there's freedom for you too. And Lord, we just bless, Lord, every person. Lord, we even say, Lord, I just say protection. But even in their night season, where even all the doors that would want to open and draw them back into cycles, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that there's freedom, and not just freedom, but protection in walking this out with you. So, Lord, we just thank you for your power, Lord, that even is coming to them today, Lord, and setting them free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
We love you. Hope this helps. See you next time.